At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
College football, full circle.
On the right, fake to Armstrong, run, book five.
Launches down the middle for McCleskey, and he gets three. James McCleskey, touchdown! They take the lead with 3 seconds left.
Patterson.
All right, here we go. College football, full circle. Mike Carver and Joe Lisi right here with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204. We made it, Joe. Like, this is it. It's on, baby. I mean, we're here. Kickoff.
It's here. Finally.
Is tomorrow. It is happening. We made it, Joe. We made
it's
it,
heaven, baby. This is it. We are
back. I don't care if the slate's not great for week zero. It doesn't matter to me, Joe. There's tickets to be made. There's games on the field. And Joe Lisi, go for the two, my man. You're ready to rock.
I am ready to rock. And that 1 o'clock game kicks it off. That's a pretty good game. I don't care what anybody says. You have two conference teams squaring off in Champaign. You have a recognizable name in terms of Brett Bielema. You have Scott Frost with NCAA allegations and violations and investigations. Trev Alberts is breathing down his neck. I mean, this line is flip-flopping every time we look. 6.5, 7.5, 6.5, 7.5. Unbelievable. All the Vegas sharps on Illinois, unbelievable.
Yeah, so much action on the Fighting Illini, Joe. It really is. Now, as we discussed, I think, yesterday or the day before, we knew that this game was going to be the most bet game of the weekend because it has the two name brands in it, whereas these other games, it might be a little harder for the average fan or better to get involved in them. But when they see the opening slate and they see Nebraska and Illinois there, a Big Ten game, this game is going to generate the most attention, and it has so far, being the most bet game of the weekend in pretty much every book you can find.
And that's what it's all about, right? Getting eyes on the product. We know that, you know, San Jose State, I mean, only the D-gens, like, you know, us are going to be watching.
Well, yeah,
Nick Starkel, I'm sitting on a 7.5 ticket. Nick, I'm sitting on a 7.5 ticket, right? I could see Carver screaming at the TV late night in the Carver household. But we know what it's all about, right? You know, the ratings in week number one. It actually catapults you to Labor Day weekend, and that's when the heavy hitters take off with those top 25 matchups. But a 1 o'clock kick on a Saturday afternoon pre-Labor Day, that's a great game. And I'm really curious to see how this game does play out because of the pressure in Nebraska. And I told you I watched that press conference with Scott Frost, and we know about Lovie Smith and what he was able to do and what he wasn't able to do in terms of taking the Fighting Illini over the hump, got him to a bowl game a couple years ago, but now it's Brett Bielema's turn. And I can just tell you from the sentiment and perception of this game, People are taking the points because we know that Illinois, as a 15.5, 16-point dog, won this game last year on the road by 18 points. So they're looking at it as they were 18 points better than the Nebraska Cornhuskers in that matchup. And they should be, at least in this ball game, within a touchdown. So that's why a lot of money coming in on Illinois yeah. right now.
But you know what, Joe? These are the kind of things, like, you know, they always say fishy lines and things that you got to look at. Like, honestly, everybody is on Illinois, and yet we've just seen this thing move at a couple places that still had it at 6.5, all the way up to FanDuel at 7.5. So we're adding on to the Nebraska number here, but everybody's hammering Illinois. It doesn't smell right, Joe. It doesn't smell right to me. And that's why, as we'll talk about later in the show when we do our picks, I'm going to be leaning towards Scott Frost. And I feel like also there's more on the line for Frost to get off to a good start than there is for Brett in his first game at Illinois. He's there. It's his first game. He's got to get things going. But there's more on the line for Frost here.
There is. And there's a couple of ways I break this down. Is when you look at that loss, right, in terms of Nebraska last year, came off a very big win against Penn State where, you know, that game was a big lead for Nebraska. I covered it. And Penn State came back, made it a one-score game late in the fourth. They were driving again, and that defense stepped up. So that was an emotional win for Scott Frost and the Nebraska Cornhuskers. So here comes Illinois the following week. There was that letdown factor, especially in a pandemic year. Let's not forget that the last two times Nebraska was on the road in Champaign, they won against the Fighting Illini. So let's keep that in mind as well. The other critical factor from the gambling aspect that sticks out to me is if you're going to get a revenge type of situation, I love the fact that they're on the road. Sometimes when teams are on the road, they focus more. Especially week number one. This team needs to be dialed in. So that's the first thing. And you mentioned the critical victory for Scott Frost. He needs one, right? Pressure's on. But then you look at the money line. The money line at minus 265 is almost 3-1 in favor of the Cornhuskers. So the money line is saying, well, there's no way we believe Nebraska's going to lose the game. So we're going to give you 7.5 as a total, and people are jumping on that. So that, to me, is a key indicator of why I also like Nebraska in this matchup. And the fact that I believe their defense will be much more improved and take the next step in 2021.
Yeah, a lot of action on the under as well, Joe. I mean, 82% of the tickets, 93% of the money. But at least the line movement has indicated that. Opened at 56.5, down to 54.5. All right, college football full circle. Carver and Lisi right here. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. We come back. We got a lot to do, baby. We got picks. We got lines. Week zero's tomorrow. We roll on after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to College Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Mike Carver.
All right, we are back. College Football Full Circle. Definitely a little pep in the step today here for me and Lisi. Sirius XM Channel 204 Sports Grid Radio. All right, Joe. A couple quick headlines, because we always do that at the beginning of the show. We got so fired up with Nebraska, Illinois. Pac-12 is not going to seek expansion. Which basically that then the next domino falls, Joe, which is the Big 12 has a subcommittee meeting today to discuss expansion. So once the Big 12 schools were like, all right, nobody wants us, now let's go and take schools from somebody else. This just goes back to our conversations from weeks ago. The main hot and heavy names, they want schools that have, you know, big alumni brands and things like that. And it sounds like BYU, UCF, and Cincinnati are like they're, you know, at the head of the list, maybe Boise, maybe Houston, etc. That's probably the best thing they could do is try to salvage something and actually become the Big 12 again and have 12 schools.
Well, Tim Brando, who we know very well, right?
The governor.
Scotty. Right, the governor. The governor. He tweeted this out that he thought it would be great for the Big 12 to go after Boise State and BYU. I agree with that. Now, let's not forget that Boise State was looking for a home not too long ago, right? We thought that they would enter the Pac-12. BYU as well. Them and Notre Dame are the true independents when you look at outside the Armed Forces School and Liberty and some of the others, right? UMass, they really don't count. We're talking about brand recognition, right? We're talking about marquee TV revenue and TV rights in terms of sponsorship. So BYU is a great choice. Now, the problem is that, okay, if you're the Big 12, you say, let's look at this realistically. Okay, we take in Boise State, we take in BYU, let's say. We still have an issue in the sense of if our teams go undefeated, what do we really have? We're on the same ground, basically, as the AAC at this point, aren't they? I mean, there's no school in the Big 12, even though I love West Virginia, and I love Texas Tech, and I love Baylor, and K-State, even Iowa State. They could only bring so much viewership. They're not gonna bring in, if you're telling me you have Oklahoma and Georgia squaring off in a playoff game or a conference championship, that BYU and Texas Tech squaring off in a Big 12 championship is gonna garner as much viewership. Just not gonna happen.
I agree. And what I think they should do, Joe, is I think they should try to get as many teams as possible at this point. I'd go to 14, I'd go to 16. I would absolutely expand as far as you can. I would do Boise State and BYU all the way to UCF in Florida, add Houston, add SMU. I go the whole way, Joe, because at this point, I think the only way that you even try to hang on and stay viable with those other conferences is to try to have as many you know names in the pot as you can get, and I think that would be the best way for them to go.
I mean, you would think, right? It really comes down to which conference is going to be more aggressive, Carver. Is it going to be the Big 12 or is it going to be the AAC? Because we know that they both want to take their respective schools, right? I mean, the Big 12 wants to take Houston and wants to take Cincinnati and wants to take those other schools with the logistical intrastate ties, and same thing for the AAC. You don't think the AAC would like to have Texas Tech to solidify those conference games between SMU, Houston, and Baylor if they could pluck them?
Sure.
You know, and even Iowa State, for that matter. But at the end of the day, we have good football. Do we have elite football to challenge the type of partnerships that we have right here, right now, with even the Pac-12, Pac-12, ACC, and Big Ten? Look at that game September 24th between LSU and USC. How is the AAC or the Big 12 gonna actually compete with a game like that magnitude, Labor Day 2024?
No, it's true. It really is. And listen, they've got to do what they can right now, but they're going to have to add teams because right now they're just falling behind everybody else, and that's that for them. And finally, I did want to throw this to you. Jake Plummer's going to start for Purdue. And no,
Jack Plummer?
Jack, I'm sorry. My apologies.
That's okay, but you like that. The girls love him. Can I tell you something?
Yeah, he's definitely not Jake Plummer.
The girls love him on Purdue. You gotta follow all this stuff, by the way. I'm a big Instagram guy in the sense of I look for there for news to get an internal, you know, heartbeat on terms of some of these programs. The girls and the fan base in Purdue think Jack Plummer's phenomenal. He's as good as Rob Lowe is at this point.
Amazing.
I'm telling you, one of the hottest guys on campus, supposedly Jack Plummer.
Yeah, he has started games before, so they're going to stink either way. So
this is a dead under for you, isn't it?
Dead under for me. Dead under.
Can I get you to pull the trigger on Oregon State week one plus the 7?
You could probably talk me into it, yeah. I think that next week when we get into our discussions about the week one slate, I think that you're going to be able to dive me into possibly taking Oregon State in that game on the road in West Lafayette.
But those uniforms, come on, they're as good as Western Michigan. We have to have, maybe in the last segment, our favorite uniforms throughout college football. Because you talked about Tulane, Texas Tech. I mean, Texas Tech has great unis.
They do. And you sent me those Tulane ones last night with them even practicing. They look outstanding. They really do. They do a great job. They're not going to win a lot of football games in Tulane, but they look good.
oh, be a believer in Tajay Spears and Michael Pratt. Will you? Willie Fritz, baby.
Let me give you a couple numbers I got this morning from FanDuel. Top three most popular games bet by handle so far.
Okay.
For the season. Number one, Ohio State, Minnesota. Which is coming up now on Thursday.
Interesting.
That is the most popular bet game by handle. Number two, I would have thought this would have been number one, and it might be by the time we get to next Saturday. Georgia and Clemson, of course, the huge matchup in Charlotte coming up on September 4th. And the third game, most popular games by handle, and this could probably be just because it's building up because it's tomorrow, is that Nebraska-Illinois game. So those are the three most popular games by handle. Yeah, but I think that the Nebraska-Illinois thing is more, it's probably getting a lot of juice the last 48 hours because it's the first game. So that's
probably why
it's getting a lot of bets.
You know, I told you, we talk to a lot of different people in the industry. You do a number of different shows, and, you know, you respect a lot of different people. I'm in the minority. I'll just say that. And at the end of the day, that's fine. You know, you can come after me. I'm still going to be standing after this weekend. And at the end of the day, go Big Red.
Go Big Red. This one kind of stunned me. And this is, once again, if you were listening to us on College Football Full Circle when we did our Big Ten win totals, the number one win total by handle at FanDuel is Michigan State, but to the over, Joe.
Sold.
86%. 86% of the handle on the over 5.5.
That's good.
For the
ready?
Michigan
ready
State
for this?
Spartans. Yeah.
Sold. Right?
Yeah.
I was a former trader. I'm going to go off right now. You're pumping me up right now. Mel Tucker and Michigan State. What is the identity of this program? I love Kenneth Walker. He's a transfer from Wake Forest. Outside of that, you have nothing. You beat Michigan, who's a down team, by 25.5 points. You average 2.6 yards per carry. You can't even get to the quarterback. 7 games, 12 sacks, -9 in turnover margin. They're going to be in third down and long situations. Anthony Russo and Peyton Thorne are absolutely just mediocre. This team is a 3 or 4 win football team, and I looked at the spreads last night. I know we can't get ahead of ourselves, but that game in Evanston, let's just say I'm chomping at the bit for that one.
Joe is the entire 14% of the handle on the under, is Joe Lisi.
Sold.
He is the entire 14%. Number two in the win total market, Notre Dame. 79% of the over 8.5, but we know that Notre Dame always gets a lot of action, Joe. So
that's public money, right?
That's not surprising at all. 21% to the under. And how about number three? Old Dominion. 99% of the handle on the under. 4 wins. Joe, Old Dominion getting all the juice. Under 4 wins for Old Dominion. We're going to have to look into that one a little bit more. College Football Full Circle. Mike Carver, Joe Lisi, right here, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. We come back. Let's start diving in, baby. We got games tomorrow. We're going to talk about them right here on College Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to College Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Mike Carver.
All right, and we're back. College Football Full Circle. Carver and Lisi here with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. I always like to remind you, Joe, that if you do miss the show live, you can always get it on Apple iTunes. All you got to do is type in College Football Full Circle, and you can find that day's show. You can find yesterday's show. You can find a show from weeks ago, Joe. They're all right there, and you can find them whenever you want. So please, go to the subscribe, rate, download, do the whole deal for College Football Full Circle on iTunes. I know you have already too, Joe.
So,
oh, it's great. I mean, how many episodes did we lock in already? 32, 33?
We've been at this over a month now. There's plenty of
rodeo. Maybe I haven't heard. No more shots for Carver and Lisi.
There is a treasure trove of preseason college football future betting talk for the last month on the College Football Full Circle iTunes page. You listen to any of those shows, you will get some nuggets of information on trying to bet some of these win totals or odds to win the national title, et cetera, et cetera. All right, Joe, here we go. We have games tomorrow. Let's talk about some other ways to bet it besides just straight or with the total. I was hoping for some more player props by now.
They're going to put them up tomorrow morning, but I'm on college football today. I'm going to have to be scrambling.
So keep an eye on that tomorrow morning. Check out Joe and Wetzel on College Football Today right here on Sports Grid, and you'll be able to get some of the player props. The only one I see really right now is on win. They have to score the first touchdown of the game for Nebraska, Illinois. Adrian Martinez, the favorite, 5-1. Austin Allen, 10-1. They got Chase Brown, 12-1. Daniel Barker, 12-1. So, I mean, that's really in terms of player props right now, Joe. Now, even next week, I think they'll put them up earlier in the week for the higher marquee games. So when we're talking about, I think by Wednesday, the Georgia-Clemson game, the Alabama-Miami game, I think we'll have some player props for those games probably by the middle of next week, right?
Yeah,
I think
probably.
We'll have some numbers.
Yeah, it's Labor Day weekend, right? They're going to try and do that. And you saw, not to go off the beaten path, but there was the Fiesta Bowl that made a partnership with, I believe, DraftKings in the sense of putting up like a game for the bowl situation. So you're going to start to see more of this as obviously we inch closer to the season. And I guarantee you this, I said this before, there is going to be more eyes on college football now, in my opinion, because of the NIL deals. When you see these kids in terms of national recognition on your TV during commercials, maybe, you know, people that are watching regular broadcast television and there's DJU or there's Bryce Young, all of a sudden, hey, who is this kid? And you're going to watch it on a Saturday afternoon, nothing to do. Instead of watching TLC, pop on Miami and Nebraska and Miami and Bama.
Now, let me give you, we love, of course, odds boosts. Plenty of the books offer you some odds boosts now on various games. FanDuel's giving you right now odds boosts. They just put it up really in probably the last hour for tomorrow's Illinois-Nebraska game. 60-plus points scored at plus 270.
They're giving it to us.
Now, the total for this game right now as it stands, Joe, is 54.5. So you're talking just about a touchdown over the total that's on the board. 60-plus total points, plus 270. Can we dangle the carrot for Joe Lisi here with this?
I think we might have to.
Okay.
I think we might have to just because Nebraska has to show something. The biggest thing for me is that Scott Frost hasn't shown the offensive philosophy, at least from a recruit perspective, to coach this team up in terms of what he had at UCF. And, you know, just look at what he was able to do. He took over that team with George O'Leary. They were 0-12. They failed to run the football his first year. When he took that team over, they were almost dead last in terms of FBS rushing offense. By the time he left, they had offensive balance, rushing for 200, passing for 300 at UCF. So if he could do that this year with the Nebraska Cornhuskers, they will be bowl eligible. But can he do it with Adrian Martinez? It's almost like we roll the dice. We don't know where we're going to get. But you know what? His back is against the wall. He's in hell, gentlemen. Remember any given Sunday? This is hell. You got to fight your way out, inch by inch, baby. Let's do it. Let's go with the over. Let's take it. You want to dangle
that fruit in front of us?
We'll take it.
I'm not going to get involved, and I'm going to tell you why. There's just so much heavy action on the under. I mean, 93% of the money, 82% of the tickets, all on the under. It's gone from 56.5 to 54. The number worries me, Joe. Now, listen, you're getting a nice chip if you go there. I mean, the plus 270 is a nice chip. And Joe loves rooting for points. Joe is not an under player, folks.
No.
Put it out there.
And I'm
Joe
a defensive
Lisi,
guy, but I like to Joe have Lisi, that 35-point lead and then the defense rip his head off.
I mean, go for the 2. He might as well call himself go for the 10. I mean, he don't want it. He wants P-O-I-N-T-S, points, points, points. Let me give you another one here. This one is at Caesars, a odds boost for tomorrow. Nebraska, Hawaii, and Fresno State, all to win straight up, and that's at 10-1. Now, here's my
problem. That's hard.
this is hard because Hawaii is a 17.5 point dog, and you're asking them to win straight up. So,
but it is Chip Kelly.
But here's
it is
the
Chip
thing.
Kelly.
Like, here's why this boost is kind of like it's kind of fugazi, Joe. Like, you really shouldn't even play this because if you're gonna bet Hawaii, just play Hawaii by themselves at +710, like on the money line. Like, why even? You know, worry about Nebraska maybe stubbing a toe, or I mean, I'm pretty confident in Fresno State. They're 27.5 point favorites, but
can you
I mean,
imagine UConn strikes the upset and it's like you win Nebraska,
right.
You win Hawaii,
if
and
you
it's,
think Hawaii,
it's Fresno.
If you think Hawaii is winning this game straight up, just play them themselves at +710. I think that's a good bet. That's the way to do it. Don't get I just some boosts really jump out at me, and some are just immediate. This is just, you can't get involved here. And I think that's one of them with the Caesars one with Hawaii, Nebraska, and Fresno, Joe. I just do.
That's a great point. That is a great point. You know, typically Hawaii does not travel well to the mainland, even though it's not that far of a trip.
A couple years ago, they got the big win in Amherst over UMass, 38-35. So don't say
they
don't travel
Colorado
well.
Did they beat Colorado State, I believe,
yes,
in 27?
Yes.
I was on that game. I was out in Vegas speaking. I was actually out with our Cardano and Gabe. We were out in Vegas that weekend. It was the Golden Nugget IFBC contest. Not contest, but, you know... Yeah, so think about that. That's how crazy it was in terms of that. But they went down there. They were 6.5, 7-1 underdog and won the ball game outright over Colorado State.
Yeah, and you know what? Let me just – I mean, there's not really even much of a boost there. I mean, you put those three teams in money line, they're not giving you anything extra. I'd rather put – there's really nothing you could do. Next week is when we can get real creative with parlays and teasers, Joe, because there's only – really five games on the board. You're not getting over really any key numbers on a tease this week.
Mm-hmm.
And teasers in college football, generally, it's not as profitable, I feel, as the NFL. I feel it's a lot harder to do the teasers in college, Joe. What about you? You think it's a little tougher to do the teasers?
It is in the sense of it's a lot tighter in the NFL, right? There's more consistency.
It matters more,
but there's more consistency in the sense of Tom Brady, over the course of his career, you know what he's capable of doing and what he isn't. You know, same thing, look at all the professional leagues. That's why the lines are the way they are, because over the long haul, with professional athletes, there's more consistency, right? With the 18 to 22 year old kids, that's why you can have a 42 point underdog win the ball game outright the way Stanford did back in 2007, right? That's just the way it happens, because there is no consistency week to week. Anything can change. Rivalries, back to back road games. So that's something that you always have to take into account. And especially from the teaser perspective, you're asking not one team to come through, but three, and that's why on the college level, I don't recommend that in terms of the teasers. I don't play them.
Now, we've got they're starting to put up some first half lines as well, second half lines, etc. If there's one half line that kind of jumps out at me, Joe, for tomorrow, it's Fresno. It just is. Like, the 27.5, we know it's a big number. We've discussed it a lot. It's at 16.5 for the first half. I could just see Ronnie Rivers just running it up, like, early and often. Like, I feel like I'd rather Joe be involved in the first half of that game, then maybe the whole thing where maybe Rivers comes out, maybe UConn gets some garbage points. I feel like the first half might be the way to go with double R and the Fresno State Bulldogs here.
See, it scares me in the sense of if this was a regular season and UConn played last year, right? We're talking about a body of work that we haven't seen since 2019 with the attrition. The transfers. We haven't even really seen this team in a year and a half. We're only going on how bad they were 2 years ago, right? So it comes back to this. I said it before. If these kids aren't enthused to play week number one, they're never going to be enthused for the college football season. There are kids there on scholarship to play football. They got to be chomping at the bit. I don't care how good Fresno State was. They're 3-3 last year. They gave up over 212 rushing yards per game. So, you know, if UConn can score some points or slow the game down to the fact where they make it into the fourth quarter, they could cover this number. I have to believe that Randy Edsall has to get this team ready. As bad as they are, you're going to give me four touchdowns week one in that environment. I have to take the points there.
How about they got some team totals as well. UCLA, man, this is 42.5. 42.5 team total for UCLA tomorrow. I know the game total 68.5. I know that. That's a big number.
42-24. That's right on the. I mean, that's basically with the. Isn't that right on the total? Meaning the total is set at 58.5,
or is it
68.5? Okay, if they have a total at 68.5, they think UCLA is going to blow through that number. That's the way I look at it, because the Hawaii offense is more of a ball control.
I feel like Rams D is going to be a little bit better than this tomorrow. Like, they're going to score 43 plus points tomorrow? I don't know. College football full circle. Carver and Lisi right here, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204. When we come back, week zero picks right here. College football full circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to College Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Mike Carver.
And we are back. College Football Full Circle. Mike Carver and Joe Lisi right here with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. All right, Joe. So every week throughout the college football season, we, of course, will give our five favorite picks of the week. Now, this week's a little different, Joe. We don't have that many games. We're going to have a lot more variety next week. We're going to really be able to narrow down five picks out of, tens and of games, just tons of games on the board. But this week it's going to be a little bit tougher because we don't have as many. So if you don't got completely five this week, Joe, I'll cut you a break. I do have five. I'm making five picks this week. I got five picks. Yes, I got five games that I like, five plays. I will start with you, my man. What do you like for week zero of the college football season?
I already took it. I took Nebraska. I got a good line at -6.5, up to 7.5 now. Again, I'm leaning with the Cornhuskers. Like the physicality. I'm going to roll with Scott Frost, who needs this game in a big way. I don't care that they lost at home last year by 18 points. The fact that they're on the road, Adrian Martinez needs to step up. Go Big Red, baby. Big win on the road against Brett Bielema and the crew.
For my first one, I'm going to do the same thing, Joe. I don't care if you still got to get it at 7.5. It doesn't matter to me. This game is more important to Scott Frost. And even listening to him yesterday, he didn't basically want to talk to any media whatsoever. He was very short. He was very focused. I think he understands the pressure that he has going into this game. Clearly, I wish, if you haven't gotten it yet, I wish you would have got the 6.5. Maybe if you want to sniff it out a little bit longer and see if it goes back down, do it. I still, Joe, feel comfortable at 7.5. I'm fine with laying it with the Huskers. I think that Frost and Martinez make a statement on Saturday, and they take care of business, and they start their Big Ten season the right way. Nebraska -7.5, my first play. What do you got next?
Love it, Carver. I love when we're on the same side. All right, yes. Let's go, baby.
What do you got next?
All right, next I'm going to close my eyes. I'm taking Randy Edsall and the UConn Huskies plus the 27.5. I'll tell you this line, when we talk about fishy lines, it is fishy in the sense that it hasn't ticked up to the four touchdowns, right? As bad as UConn is, and the fact that we know that Fresno State is a physical team, a good team in the Mountain West Conference, actually one of the top in terms of, their future odds to possibly win the outright championship this year. I'm not sold on their physicality of their defensive line. Like I mentioned, they gave up 212 on the ground last year. The fact that this hasn't moved, I'm just looking at the tape right now. This is a fishy line, -110 either way. UConn hasn't played in a year and a half. Randy Edsall looking to catch lightning in a bottle. It's his birthday today. Give me UConn on the road, baby.
Yeah, I'm going to go against you on this one, Joe. For number two for me, I am laying it with the Bulldogs, 27.5. This has Ronnie Rivers just absolutely running wild all day long. They are the better football team. They played last year. I know that there's an argument you can make for UConn not playing, that they're going to be focused, they're going to be fresh. They stink, Joe. That's bottom line for me. Edsel's team stinks. UConn shouldn't even be playing football. They're going for one of the longest travels any team is going to take this entire college football season, going from stores all the way across the country to play at Fresno. This is a bad, bad, bad situation for Randy Edsel. I think that you're going to be comfortable with 27.5. This game smells like 55-10. To me, Joe, I think Fresno State absolutely whacks them. Pick number two for me, the Bulldogs, minus 27.5.
I got to roll with Todd Graham. I'm not a believer in Chip
Kelly.
I'm not. I think if they get a good effort, it's going to come week two against the LSU Tigers. I honestly believe with 17 starters back, they hold a little in the tank for that matchup. They don't want to show too much because there's no consistency with the UCLA offense. Chase Cote is there. I mentioned Britton Brown, Zach Carbonet. That's great. But Todd Graham, I think, is a better defensive coach than Chip Kelly. I just honestly believe that. Not sold on Chip. 10-21 overall in UCLA. That's not going to get it done. They might win, but I'm going to take Hawaii plus the 17 and a hook Saturday in the Rose Bowl.
Wow, Joe, there you go. For that game, I'm going with the under, Joe. 68.5. I just don't think that this is going to be as wild and crazy and high scoring as a 68.5 total. It's week number one. I think that there could be a little bit of a feeling out process here. You've got Hawaii coming over, as we know, from the islands. Will there be points? Yeah, I'm not going to say it's going to be a complete, you know, rock fight, but I think that that is a heavy, heavy number for week number one, week zero, whatever we're in. I'm taking the under 68.5, Hawaii and UCLA on Saturday for pick number three. What do you got next, Joe?
Next is UTEP, New Mexico State, right? So total is 58.5. We talked about New Mexico State playing in terms of the FCS schedule, the fact that they're only removed from football basically since May, right? For the most part, late April. I think that'll benefit this team. They get Kentucky transfer quarterback Terry Wilson. That's a mobile quarterback. He can make some plays outside the pocket. I think he'll put his team in a position to score some points and potentially win this game. I don't like the I lean to New Mexico State, but that's not my best pick. I do like the over in this ball game, 58.5. I feel like New Mexico State, quarterback to wide receiver relationship. Those players are, from an offensive line perspective, got some work in the offseason in terms of game preparation and game speed. I think that'll benefit them. I'm taking the over. UTEP, New Mexico State, that's my best total of the day. Like the over in that ballgame at minus 115 to the over on FanDuel.
I'm going to stay with the same game, Joe. I'm actually taking the points with New Mexico State. Now, listen, this is a major rivalry. As we know, these two teams cannot stand each other. The Battle of I-10, as they love to call it. And actually, New Mexico State has beaten them the last couple of times out. I think they've won three in a row in the series over them. Both teams are awful, or at least have been over the last 5 to 10 years. I just think that anybody getting points in this game is the way you want to go. Plus 9.5. We've seen some 10.5s as well. I am taking the points with New Mexico State. I do like the total along with you. They've played some crazy games, 44-35 in 2019, 50-47 in 2015. So they've had some high scoring, Joe, so I like where you're going there. But I'm going to just stick with taking the points. New Mexico State plus 9.5 for me.
All right, so basically we need points out of New Mexico State. We can't get the
yes.
over unless Terry Wilson and the crew come through. So I like that. The next one, I know you're on San Jose State. I know this already. I'm inclined to take the points out of, you know, four games. I'm inclined to take the points in three of them. But I'm going to go the under here, and I'll tell you why. I think San Jose State does play USC, right, week number two. They're already a 15-point underdog. We like USC early on there. They're not going to show a lot. They have the advantage offensive, defensive line play. I think their defense is much better than the Southern Utah offense. I think they grind out a win here. I think they potentially could cover this line, even though I would take the points, but I like the under here. 56.5. I don't even think it comes close to that total. So I'm going to go under 56.5 San Jose State, Southern Utah in this matchup. Could be a bloodbath too, 42-0 or 42-7 for that matter.
Yeah, I think that San Jose State scores some points, but I don't know if you're going to get much help from Southern Utah. So I understand the under with the 56.5 completely. I got to tell you, Jaw, I like this a lot better early in the week when you happen to get it at 22.5. Going past the 24 number does make me a little leery, to be quite honest. So the way I'm going to play it, Joe, is the first half. San Jose State minus 14.5. FanDuel's actually giving you plus 105 to that right now. I think a fast start for Nick Starkle and the crew. Score a bunch of points in the first half. Maybe shut it down in the second half because they do have USC coming around the corner as well. So I could see big first half from San Jose State. That's the way that I'm going to stick with it, minus 14.5. So to recap for me, Joe, Nebraska, minus 7.5. New Mexico State, plus the 9.5. San Jose State first half, minus 14.5. Under 68.5 in Hawaii, UCLA, and Fresno State and Ronnie Rivers run all day long, minus 127.5 over UConn. Quick recap of your five, my man.
Yeah, my five are Nebraska, minus 6.5. You still like them at 7.5 as well. I'm taking the points with UConn, plus 27.5 on the road in Fresno. I'm taking the points in Hawaii, plus the 17.5. And then I'm taking the over in UTEP, New Mexico State, over 58.5, minus 115 on FanDuel, and the under Southern Utah and San Jose State, 56.5.
Now, what are we doing here, Joe? Are we keeping track for like a stake? Is that how this works? The college football full circle?
Yeah, of course, yeah. Whether we go out to Long Island, I got a trek out to Long Island, or we'll take you down to Red Bank, New Jersey, a great place. Danny's Char.
Well, that's the way it's going to have to work. You know, the loser's going to have to travel and buy. You know, that's kind of how it's going to have to go here.
I have no problem with that, Carter.
For our whole season, tracking our college football picks right here on College Football Full Circle. Little steak on the line here between Carver and Lisi. Let's go.
Filet mignon. Yeah. I love it. this is my first rodeo? Of course. This is like, I do this every year. Let's lock and load, baby. Let's do it.
And what I like is right out of the gate, somebody's going to be up and down because we only have one pick that we're together on. We're only together on Nebraska.
I'm going to be in the foxhole. I'm going to have to drive myself. I'm going to be, oh, man, 1-4 on the week. I got to drag myself out of the hole.
Not going to lie, also, Joe, I kind of like the under in the Eastern Illinois-Indiana State game. Not going to lie to you.
See, now you're going off the deep end.
That's not one of my plays. I probably won't see a snap of that game, but I like the under in Eastern Illinois-Indiana State.
It is. I tell you what, we talk about not to go off the beaten path. Did you see what FanDuel did that? And I don't know how I got on this, but they have local teams now, depending upon your book. So, like, I must have clicked on, like, the PA line. So they got, like, local college teams. So they have Temple, Rutgers, Penn, and now, obviously, it's the PA one, right? So I can't look at it in Jersey. But Penn State, Wisconsin, they have Penn State win total. So that's pretty cool because, you know, all these books are all over the place. So based off the book, so, like, if you're in Tennessee or West Virginia, they're going to pull up Marshall. They're going to pull up, well, maybe they can't do it in those particular venues. Right. It is weird, though, I guess, right?
Yeah,
because
I was
in PA, you could bet on those teams,
yes,
but in Jersey, you can't.
I was in PA, of course, on Monday and Tuesday earlier this week, and I did see that when you pulled up college football, it had locals. So, I mean, the sports gambling laws, as we know, Joe, are different in every state.
Yeah.
Certain states, you're allowed to do certain things. As we know, in New Jersey, you cannot wager on Rutgers college football. In Pennsylvania, you clearly can wager on Penn State. I mean, they have it right there at the top of the page for you to go ahead and fire away and Pitt, etc. So I think it's just another one of those things like everything else, Joe, where state to state, there's different laws and different ways of who you're allowed to bet and when you can bet them.
And exactly, right? So West Virginia, I'm sure, will have the Mountaineer and Marshall total up. Both of those teams hate each other. They should renew that rivalry.
You still got to drive over to across the state line and put that Rutgers over in, Joe. You got to get over into Pennsylvania. You got to play that
really
Rutgers
like
over.
That. You really love that. Out of all the picks this year, that's your pick.
We'll do our top five favorite totals early in the week next week before the games start. One more time, we'll do our favorite ones. College Football Full Circle, Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. We come back and wrap it up on College Football Full Circle right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to College Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Mike Carver.
And we are back. College Football Full Circle. Carver and Lisi right here with you. Sports Grid Radio. Sirius XM, Channel 204. Joe, I'm looking forward to tomorrow. The games are nice and spread out, too. 1 p.m. Eastern, you have Nebraska and Illinois. UConn and Fresno State get it going at 2:30 p.m. Eastern or 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern, 3:30 p.m. Eastern, Hawaii and UCLA. UTEP, New Mexico State, 9:30 p.m. Eastern, and then the bailout blowout, 10 p.m. Eastern, Southern Utah and San Jose State. That game will actually be on CBS Sports Network, Joe. So if things don't go for you all day, you always got the bailout blowout at 10 o'clock at night. You can get it all back in one swing or lose even more. You got to love it.
That's it. It's like, I didn't want to break down the San Jose State, Southern Utah game. Now you're forced at 9:45, you're crunching numbers. What could happen? Play out every scenario. That's what makes college football amazing. But we'll see what transpires. I feel good. I feel good about that 1 o'clock game. Obviously, all eyes on that. And we'll see what transpires in Champaign.
And, Joe, next week we have the opening official week of college football. We will talk Monday about these week zero games. We will talk about who screwed us the most on Saturday. Early in the week, Joe, we'll give our final maybe five favorite win totals, five
yes.
favorite props for the season, whatever you got to do. Because then, Joe, Thursday night, full slate. Friday night, full slate. Saturday, full slate. It's on next week, Joe. I hope you're ready.
I can't wait, Carver. I mean, this, again, if you're a college football fan, analyst, expert, whatever it is, you just love the game, this is what it's all about. The interconference battles, see who gets an early step up, and then that really catapults us to those week two games, in particular, Oregon and Ohio State.
Joe, great stuff as always, my man. Enjoy the games this weekend. I will talk to you on Monday. Great job by Andrew Torres, as always. Mike Carver, Joe Lisi, College Football Full Circle, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204. Real football tomorrow, baby. We'll see you on Monday.